I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the flagship edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we get ready for the biggest wrestling weekend of the season. We have NXT TakeOver. We have Ring of Honor Survival of the Fittest. We have the World Tag League from New Japan. And we have the WWE Survivor Series. Plus, news on everything happening in the professional wrestling world, including what's happening over at Impact Wrestling and Combat Zone Wrestling, and highlights of what's already happened this weekend. This is Wrestling Night in America for November 12th, 2017. And good evening, you people. I am Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, and I am joined by another legendary Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, Mr. Greg Parks, and welcome to Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. Greg, welcome to Wrestling Night in America.
Thanks, Pat, and thank you for the legendary as well.
Well, it's the least I can do, I think. All right, a great Sunday evening to you here in the United States here at Torch Towers. The number 515-605-9345. We're also taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We're also both on Twitter, believe it or not. I am Real Pat McNeil. He is Greg M. Parks, and chat room's open. Hopefully somebody will take charge in the chat room to get us up to speed. And congratulations for the Jaguars not sucking today, Greg.
Well, they stunk. They didn't suck. So that's a step up. But they were able to win in overtime. This is the kind of win that they wouldn't have gotten in years past. So I'm pretty happy sitting here at 6-3 right now.
I'm not happy with the Redskins at 5-4, but excuse me, 4-5. But on the bright side, you know what? We're not neither of us are Rich fan. So that's really the important thing, I think, that we can take away from that. Okay. All right, 515-605-9345. Let's get started. Greg, have you heard about the biggest wrestling match in the history of India, which is going to take place December 9th?
Would that involve Triple H traveling to India?
Well, that's right. Yes, Triple H has announced that the biggest wrestling match in the history of India will take place on December 9th in New Delhi when Triple H fights Jinder Mahal in a match that will be for no title whatsoever. Obviously, this would be a great opportunity. You know, Jinder Mahal getting a victory over Triple H in Delhi in front of a huge crowd. I think that'd be great for him.
Yeah, and Triple H is an interesting opponent. I don't think any of us would have really had that as a guess. You know, Triple H has kind of filled in at various points on international tours in the last month or so. Maybe he just got that itch. Maybe, fighting Jinder Mahal in India, he thinks that he as the opponent would maybe know how to accentuate Mahal's strengths that some of his other opponents haven't been able to do thus far, and really endear Mahal to his home audience. I don't know. The thinking behind that, I'm curious of, because that's a choice that to me is kind of out of left field.
Well, actually, let's talk about the reasons why that could be happening. Because Jinder Mahal's original opponent for this show in Delhi is Kevin Owens. And as has been reported ad nauseum over the past 5 days, Kevin Owens and Jinder Mahal sent home from – it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sorry, Jinder, I did not mean to lump you in with them. Sent home from the WWE European Tour for failing to follow instructions out there, allegedly. So is this KO's punishment? He doesn't get to travel to Delhi and fight Jinder Mahal. That's now Triple H's main event.
Maybe. You know, Owens and Zayn are still booked for next week's SmackDown. So
yes, they are.
Certainly this doesn't seem like a long-term thing. I don't know what the pay scale is as far as guys you know, what kind of monetary reward there is for a Kevin Owens fighting Jinder Mahal in India. I don't know if that's, you know, WWE punishing him by taking away some pay that he would be getting by going overseas to face Mahal. So if that's the case, then, yeah, I could understand it if WWE thinks that just simply sending Owens and Zayn home from the European tour wasn't enough of a punishment for what they did. Personally, you know, I think that sending them home is enough of a punishment. So,
right.
You know, speculation, of course, that Triple H fighting Mahal as a replacement for Owens is related to Owens being sent home. But certainly the timing of that announcement is interesting.
Yes, I think it is. And, I mean, let's be honest. It would be better for Jinder. It would be bigger for Jinder to get a win over Triple H in Delhi than a win over Kevin Owens. That's not – I don't mean that as any disrespect towards Kevin Owens, but it's, you know, it's pretty obvious that a win over a member of the McMahon family in, you know, in your home country is a big deal. Plus it would – plus it frees up
Triple H.
Well, why else would they be doing that? I know that in the past, and by the past I mean the last 15 years, that wrestlers lose in their hometowns, and that's valid. But there's no title on the line. There's really no, and Jinder's going to be a babyface. There's absolutely no reason why you would have Triple H go over here.
Oh, I completely agree with you. But
plus, it
doesn't have any place in the way WWE books sometimes.
Well, plus think of this. It frees up Kevin Owens and Sammy's. Well, it frees up Kevin Owens to headline the SmackDown house show that night in Pikeville, Kentucky, at the Eastern Kentucky Expo Center. If you think I'm joking about that, I'm not.
That is a good point. I can only imagine where Owens would rather be, in India fighting Jinder Mahal or in Pikeville, Kentucky. And to be honest, that's not even a joke. I really am not sure where he would rather be.
No, I'm not. I'm not being fair because SmackDown's in Louisville the next night, and that's a big town. And, you know, there's no way KO would be able to make it. I don't think KO's going to make it back from Delhi to Louisville in that amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that could be that could be another reason. Certainly that Owens isn't facing Mahal if he's pulled from the show completely.
Yes. Also, what us people in the business like to call rumor and innuendo, there is much speculation that we will find out tomorrow night when Raw hits Atlanta who Emma's replacement on the Raw roster is, and that Emma's replacement on the Raw roster is likely to be former WWE Women's Champion Paige, who, by the way, has recently broke up with Alberto Del Rio in what has to be a huge coincidence.
Well, it was recently announced that she broke up with Del Rio. I don't know when that took place, because I know a few months ago there were rumblings that they weren't together anymore, and it was, kind of going back and forth about whether or not they were still together, and so now it coming out officially that they are not, doesn't mean it took place recently. But it's going to be interesting. Paige has been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
She'll feel fresh She'll have some new matchups there on the Raw brand, and you know, I think it'll breathe a little new life into the Raw women's division, because you've got Asuka, who recently debuted. You've got Paige as an addition. So, you know, she's got the track record on the main roster, former champion. So she'll bring some credibility to the division as well. I'm kind of interested to see where she eventually slots in, whether she, you know, really takes Emma's spot at the bottom of the pecking order, which I think would be a disservice to Paige's talents, although it was to Emma's, certainly. But with Asuka there now, it makes the Raw Women's Division a little top-heavy. You've got Sasha Banks, you've got Bayley, you've got Asuka. And with the amount of time that the women get on TV, which is not a lot, you wonder if there's room for someone else at the top, or, you know, even another women's feud that isn't centered around the title.
Well, I mean, this is my thinking, you know. I mean, they're feeding women to Asuka, but Asuka needs the next opponent. And if you don't want to sacrifice anybody else in that women's division, and Paige is coming back, and, you know, Paige is a big enough name that you could do that. I mean, an Asuka versus Paige feud would be interesting, and it would be something that you didn't see on NXT.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. I don't know if you'd want to feed Paige to the wolves right off the bat. You know, you can have Asuka wrestler squash matches on Raw. You can have her work her way up the food chain. You've got Dana Brooke there, who really isn't doing anything and isn't going to be affected by a loss to Asuka. You've got Alicia Fox, once they get past the Survivor Series and they get Alicia Fox's team captain out of their system. You could feed Foxy to Asuka as well. And then, you know, continue to work your way up the food chain where the matches get more and more difficult, which was an idea that should have happened from the start, but was thrown off when she was booked 50-50 with Emma upon her debut. But then you can work your way up the page, even after, say, Alicia Fox, and have her work a more even Steven match or a more even feud with Paige that eventually Asuka gets the better of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be great. All right, let's go to the phones. The number, of course, is 515-605-9345. Next week, in case you've forgotten, we'll be coming to you very late in the evening following WWE Survivor Series, which will take about, 15, 16 hours, Greg. Does that sound good? Sound about right?
Yeah, I'll definitely have to sleep in Sunday morning to make sure I get all the rest I need for that.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of ice cream tea being consumed in the McNeil household. All right, let's go to the phones. Caller from Skype. This will be fun. Remember, ask up three questions, make up three comments. Three is the magic number. Caller from Skype, you are on Wrestling Night in America. Hello. Go ahead. Hold on. Shoot. Go ahead and give us your name and town, caller. Name and town. This is going to be that kind of night, Greg. I can tell. Hello, caller. Go ahead.
It's Greg from Toledo.
I am shocked. Greg, did you know Greg from Toledo would be calling in this evening?
I had an inkling, but I've got the confirmation right now. Welcome, Craig from Toledo.
How you doing, Craig? By the way, on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, when I was on, there was a request that we get more Jackie from Jacksonville on the show, so if he's listening, pass that along to him. Okay, Craig, what is your question?
I heard that. I also love Jackie from Jacksonville.
I'm not surprised.
Number one, I heard someone say that they're excited for AJ Brock because Brock and Punk from SummerSlam 2013 was one of Brock's best matches. I didn't get back into wrestling until January of 2014. Would you advise me going back to watch this match before AJ Brock, because I might see something similar, or would you think it'd be neat for me to watch it beforehand to kind of do a live comparison between the two matches next Sunday?
You know what? I would say watch it beforehand, and then you can call in after Survivor Series and let us know and go over the similarities and differences between the Styles Lesnar and Punk Lesnar matches. I guess the best way I would describe it is I expect it to be similar but different, in that Punk and AJ Styles they worked well together the times that they wrestled, and you can go back and probably find that if you go through the Ring of Honor catalog. for their previous matches, but I'm not expecting the same match, Greg.
Yeah, Styles, of course, by virtue of him defeating Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship on SmackDown this past week, is now going to be facing Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. And, you know, I think there's a tendency to, by some fans, to believe that Lesnar is not, at this point, he's resting on his laurels, and he's not wrestling up to even his potential at this point. So I'm curious to see if AJ Styles can bring something more out of him than just the clobbering, the suplexes that we've seen in his previous few matches. You know, he's fought guys like Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman, who are brawlers. They're big men who Lesnar has had to really fight a physical match with. And now he's got somebody in AJ Styles who, you know, Styles can bounce around for Lesnar a little bit. But also, you know, Styles is a guy who may be able to bring out some of the best in Lesnar. And, you know, the Lesnar-Strowman, Lesnar-Joe matches were, for the most part, I think, very low gear type matches, so it'll be interesting to see if Styles can bring a higher gear out of Lesnar next Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, Craig, tell you what, we're about to go to a break. Would you mind hanging on with us during the break? I'm guessing you have more questions.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there you go. There's a hook for you, Greg. We'll be back. Craig from Toledo has more questions, and we'll take more of your calls after Craig is done. 515-605-9345. Wrestling Night in America returns on PW Torch Livecast following this timeout.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too, and if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, welcome back to Wrestling Night in America on PW Torch Livecast. That catchy little number is Just Because by Kids on Bridges. Kids on Bridges, the official artist of PW Torch Livecast. Their material available on iTunes, 515-605-9345. I am Pat McNeil, joined by Greg Parks, and we have a lot of wrestling to go over, including previews of NXT and the Survivor Series and Ring of Honor and all of that stuff. And we're back with Craig from Toledo. Craig was just starting in talking about the excitement surrounding Survivor Series and the Brock Lesnar AJ Styles match. Please continue, Craig.
Would you guys appreciate a WWE universe that moves beyond TV and pay-per-views and included things like house shows, ESPN appearances, Twitters, and random things on the network?
Greg, I'm confused. Don't those things already happen?
Yeah. When you say WWE Universe, are you talking like the fans appearing on these pieces, or?
I'm not talking about the fans, but I'm talking about how Triple H was with the Shield, if that was actually enveloped in the storyline, and Kevin Owens coming to the rescue of Sami Zayn a couple months ago. If that was enveloped into the storyline and not just like an offshoot, like alternate universe thing, if it was all in the same universe and all like constantly going.
Okay. I get what you're saying here. Ideally that would be very good. Here's what I think the issue is, Craig. We already have a WWE universe where Vince McMahon thinks that people either don't remember or don't care about stuff that happened last month on WWE television. And I think part of it is, and maybe Greg can chime in on this, part of it is, you know, Vince started booking this company in 1984, where let's just say the bar for creating compelling wrestling storylines was maybe a little bit lower than it is now. And I don't think, I've heard what a workaholic Vince McMahon is. I don't think he's a workaholic to the point where he wants to sit down like Robert Kirkman does for the Walking Dead comics and create long-term storylines that make sense and obsess over little details. And I don't think he wants the writers to obsess over little details. In fact, it's pretty obvious that he doesn't.
Certainly. And, you know, if you're booking things on house shows house shows are kind of standalone events. They are meant to make the crowd happy. They are meant to entertain families more so than TV tapings do. And if you go to house shows versus TV tapings, you'll notice a very drastic difference in the makeup of the crowd. If you're talking about micromanaging ESPN appearances to include storyline happenings, same with Twitter. I mean, you're talking about overworking an already overworked writing staff and Vince McMahon. So, you know, a lot of more work would have to go into it. Personally, I'm fine with having to keep up with 5 hours of TV on a good week, on a pay-per-view week. Including Raw, SmackDown, and the pay-per-views. You know, I don't want to have to go see every ESPN appearance. I don't want to have to follow every wrestler on the brand on Twitter in order to keep up with storylines and angles and things like that. That's asking too much of the fans, I think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you would want – I mean, I know what Craig is saying. Ideally, you know, things would happen on the house shows and you would have them recapped – on the TV shows, much like when Dusty Rhodes was booking. When Dusty Rhodes was booking, you'd see clips of the house. You know, they'd start off every week with a clip of the house show from that week and talk about, you know, what happened.
And if you're talking consistency, like making what happens on the house shows consistent with what you're seeing on TV, which doesn't always happen, if you're saying have a character appear on ESPN who is consistent with the character you're seeing on Raw and SmackDown – or the same for Twitter, then I'm all for that. I'm all on board with that kind of thing. But, you know, it's a slippery slope. And if you're talking storylines and things like that, that's where I think it would become a little more difficult.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, if you have a company with 25 and 26 writers, you know, you could make sure that all of that is somewhat consistent. There was some consistency back in the Attitude Era because you had first Vince Russo and then Jim Ross booking the house shows, and you know they would try to keep the same characters and sort of the same style on the house shows as they did on television. And you know nowadays the house shows come with a little mini Titantron, and they try to make it look much more like what you would see on Raw and SmackDown. So I think that wins points for consistency. Okay, Craig, did you want to extrapolate that a little bit or?
Well, considering that you guys already have, like, you already follow all the ESPN appearances, house shows, Twitter, you know, like, everything that happens, you guys know about it. I should have phrased it differently. Would you appreciate it if you were a, I don't want to say a casual consumer of WWE, but, like, as a, someone who follows WWE Twitter kind of consumer? I guess kind of hard for you guys to answer.
Well, I would love it if things were more. I think I would love it if there was more consistency between, you know, I'm just hopeful we can get consistency between what we see on WWE television from one week to the next. You know, I mean, working all that other stuff in would just be an incredible bonus. Greg,
that's a good point. I think, you know, let's get some consistency in what we see on Raw and SmackDown before we try to extrapolate that out to entertainment appearances and Twitter and things like that. That should be the priority, is what you see on WWE TV. That's canon, for sure.
That's kind of where I was going with that whole thing was there, because it's different, like – And you know, Vince McMahon, they say he works harder than everybody else, et cetera. He's living this day to day. He's probably more likely to forget last week than we are because we're only living 5 hours a week as he's living, whatever, 84 hours a week. I don't know. And having the house shows and the storylines kind of going with, I guess, sorry.
Okay. Ideally that would be wonderful. I mean, I think the house shows should follow the same storylines as WWE does. And I think, I mean, NXT is probably a good example of that. A title change happens on a house show. They have the cameras, you know, they always have the cameras rolling, taping every NXT show anyway. So they've got footage of it right there, and they just plug it right in there. And I mean, you don't have to worry when you're going to an NXT live event that you're going to see something that's inconsistent with what you're seeing on NXT television. So yeah, I think that's sort of the training ground for how this is going to look maybe in 100 years when Vince McMahon finally passes from this earth.
Nice. And my final thing is, since Nakamura and Styles, since Nakamura Styles and AJ, what the hell am I? AJ Styles and Nakamura got together today or last night or whatever it is in Italy right now.
Florence, Italy.
And
yeah.
Yes. And Roman Brock are almost foregone conclusions for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have AJ or Brock lose their title to necessitate a surprise winner of the Royal Rumble for a potential third main event? And
well,
keep in mind WrestleMania 33 triple main event included cockroaches and maggots and 250-year-olds, and please just disregard
yes,
the looming Angle Triple H match behind the curtain.
First of all, thank you very much, Craig. I know you'll listen on the line here as I put you back on the line. Okay, so yeah. Okay. I think what's happening is the third main event, Greg. I think we already know what it's going to be. It's going to be Ronda Rousey against Charlotte, or Ronda Rousey against Asuka, or whoever they want Ronda Rousey to fight at WrestleMania. That's what I think the third main event for WrestleMania is going to be. Now,
Throw in Triple H, Kurt Angle. That's one that's been talked
Triple
about
H,
as well.
Triple H, Kurt Angle will be the fourth main event, or whoever Triple H is fighting is also going to be a main event. I think that's probably a fair way to put it. And I mean, I actually had a slightly different idea for it, which is, you know, when Jason Jordan finally turns on Kurt Angle, I'm thinking about this. What if they do the Triple Angle and Jordan, and then we get to WrestleMania and it's Jordan and Triple H against Kurt Angle and a mystery partner, and I think you could guess who the mystery partner would be. Another guy who's been off of WWE, who's been out of a WWE ring for a few years. Who doesn't like Triple H? Who fans chant for? Yes, yes, yes. Who claims he's medically cleared to wrestle already? You know, you're getting
Daniel Bryan, of course.
Daniel Bryan, thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's a dream, I think.
Maybe we'll discuss this more out of the break. But there's a reason why I've been thinking that could happen, and I think that the thinking is. I mean, even if you're just worried about Daniel Bryan's health, if you promise Daniel Bryan he could wrestle every so often, you have a better chance of controlling the situations where he wrestles than if Daniel Bryan, you know, goes to New Japan and is fighting, and he's fighting Okada Yoshihashi.
That's the thing, though. Daniel Bryan wants to return to the ring to have meaningful competition. I don't think that WWE is going to convince him to stick around by saying, we'll let you wrestle, but we're going to hide you in a tag match with Jason Jordan so you don't do too much damage.
His first match back should be a tag match. Also, it should be a safe match, I think.
WWE, even when he returns to the ring, even if he does return to the ring in WWE, they're not going to let him wrestle the kind of matches that he wants to have in New Japan and ROH and things like that. If he's going to return to the ring, he wants to do it the way that he wants to wrestle, things like that. And WWE, you could have him return in a very safe, a very sterile environment for him. But I don't think they're ever going to let him really have a big WrestleMania match one-on-one with a major opponent and just say, go out there for 20 minutes and wreck each other.
Well, no, but I would be very surprised if they said that. Okay, well, this is something that we can argue about, probably after the break. The number is 515-605-9345. Yes, I'm guessing this is going to be Ryan from Cumberland on hold, who we'll get to after the break. But believe it or not, there are other lines open for you, 515-605-9345. And we also have an email address, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, where you can discuss many other things. And we still have all these lineups we have to go over, Greg, for Survivor Series, for NXT TakeOver. As a matter of fact, they're already advertising a match for Survivor Series on television that I know they haven't announced yet, and they probably won't announce until this week. So that's a lot we can get into. So everybody stick with us. Wrestling Night in America will return here on PW Torch Livecast after this timeout.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling-related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts.
And now, page three. Folks, you've listened to PW Torch Livecast for years now. You've also listened to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, and you've been on our website, pwtorch.com. Now, let's say you wanted to take things to the next level. Let's say you wanted to become a VIP member here at pwtorch.com. You'd get an additional just gobs of VIP podcast during the week. You'd get ad-free versions of the podcast you listen to, like this one. You'd get on the VIP website, which is also ad-free. And as an added bonus, there's something that the Torch family has put out for the past 30 years that you might be familiar with.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
That's right, the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, which features, among other things, the stylings of Greg Parks. You'd get the bonus VIP audios, including the Bruce Mitchell audio show, including the fix with Todd Martin, including... the Wade Keller Daily Hotline, which goes on and on and on every day for years now, including the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, where we came up with this crazy idea that we would do commentary on wrestling shows, on old wrestling shows, in real time that you could sync up with your WWE Network feed. There is so much to offer. We invite you to go to pwtorch.com/govip. Check it out for yourself. $10 a month, $99 a year. And see all the benefits you get by going VIP here at pwtorch.com. And at the very end of our show, if you're not listening to the ad-free version, well, there will be a friendly spokesman coming on to tell you how you can be part of the VIP family and all the benefits that you get. So don't touch that dial. And Wrestling Night in America returns about now. All right, Wrestling Night in America returning here on PW Torch Livecast, 515-605-9345. Kids on Bridges does that song. The other song we use, at least the one that I use for the opening, Greg, is Legend by Ender Gooney. Believe it or not, that's the guy's name. The thing that sounds suspiciously like the old opening for WCW Saturday Night. So.
It's nice.
Yeah, he does a great job, and just asks that he gets plugged. He's on YouTube, and his name really is Ender Gooney. Anyway, we continue on with the show. I expect WWE to sort of make a pitch to Daniel Bryan, saying, you can make more money with not as much work if you stick with us, and we let you wrestle every so often, and you don't kill yourself. And I mean, of course, that is a figure of speech when talking about Daniel Bryan. Although, 14 concussions.
And again,
Greg.
I don't, knowing Daniel Bryan, not that I know him, but, you know, you understand through stories about him, you know, his work ethic and really what he wants to do in the wrestling business. And I don't know that would be enough. First of all, I'm still of the opinion that WWE is not going to let him wrestle. I think there's just too much at risk for WWE from a liability standpoint, not even dealing with Daniel Bryan himself. But from WWE's liability, I just don't think they would do it. But if they did, I just don't think that would be enough for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my thought is that they could, you know, they could maybe mitigate things, make things a little bit better. And trust me, I put out the column a few years ago saying that Daniel Bryan should never wrestle. However, they apparently have worked on healing, you know, CTE issues over time. He's gotten checked out by a number of people. So I don't know how it's going to end up. I mean, I expect Daniel Bryan will find a way to wrestle again. I think that's almost a given at this point, though, Greg.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, 515-605-9345. Let's go to the phones. I'm guessing this is someone from Cumberland, Maryland. Go ahead, caller. Please state your name and town.
Brian from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good. First question I have for you is about Starrcade. What are the chances that the Rock and Roll Express can steal the show with their match against Luke and Gallows and make it the best match on the card, match quality-wise?
Well, I saw the Rock and Roll Express wrestle at Wrestlecade a few years ago, and from that experience, I'm going to say chances are not great, although the Rock and Roll Express can still, they still know all their old tricks. They can still put on a good indie style match. It's just that I would certainly hope, Greg, that, maybe we could do a little better than that.
Yeah. And I think you made the key point, Pat, is the Rock and Roll Express has been wrestling that type of match for decades. They know the beats, they know how to draw the fans in, they know how to make them interested. They do that routine very well, but this is a pretty high work rate roster in WWE right now. And Anderson Gallows, I'm not sure if that's the right opponent for the Rock and Roll Express to have a really good match against. I think you'll see them do their thing, you know, have Anderson Gallows on offense for most of the match, have Morton doing his selling and things like that, the things that they're really that are their strengths even today. But that doesn't necessarily make for a high quality match, even if they do hit all those notes that they've hit in the past.
I'm also going to tell everybody something else about Starrcade. That original lineup that they have for this show, that's not going to happen. I don't think we're going to get a Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match, for one thing. I'm pretty sure Jinder will not be defending the WWE title inside the steel cage. I mean, yeah, I'm guessing AJ Styles will, and they'll switch those matches around. So, those are my guesses. I don't think it's going to look exactly. Now, will we still get like the tornado match between the New Day and the Usos? Yeah, sure, why not? But will we still get Natalya and Charlotte inside the cage? I'd almost guarantee it. But the lineup is subject to change, and they have released additional tickets for Starrcade. And Greg, I mean, I'm sure you've heard as well that, you know, part of the reason given for doing it is they were just totally depressed over how poorly ticket sales were going for Thanksgiving weekend in Greensboro, and wanted to try to liven things up a bit.
Yeah, and when you've got the intellectual property, and when you can build a show around a theme like they're doing with Starrcade in Greensboro, in a place where it matters, that sort of name carries some weight in that area. It would be foolhardy of WWE not to reach back into the past and try to recapture some of that magic, at least as far as the name goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting a fantastic show, and I think if WWE was expecting a fantastic show, they'd be finding a way to put this on the network. Putting live events on the network, you know, that still costs money, and I know they've experimented with it a few times in the past, and they're kind of, you know, they're going to be cutting down on the number of pay-per-views in 2018, so I don't think they're going to be necessarily adding house shows.
My second question for you might have already been answered a while back, but I never heard the answer to it. Is there a reason why SmackDown, during their commercials, they show on the small screen the matches, but on Raw they don't do that same concept?
I think it's an experiment they're trying on SmackDown that they don't want to try on Raw. I mean, they just want to see if that. I think both the USA Network and you know WWE want to see if that holds viewers' attentions and they're less likely to switch out during the break if that happens. Greg, have you heard anything different from that?
No, we've had that question before here, and that explanation certainly is as good as any. I don't know the real reason. They've been doing that now since the brand split last summer. I think when SmackDown went live, that's when they started doing it. So if it's an experiment to see if it holds viewers, it's a pretty long-term experiment because it's been going on for over a year now. But, again, I don't have another explanation for it. And, you know, I can't give a firm answer to that.
Okay. Yeah.
And my final question for you, it's a question I asked Travis Bryant, but he said he wasn't qualified to answer this question. If you voted in the Wrestling Observer, and even if you didn't vote in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, who did you cast your ballot for? Who would you cast your ballot for if you didn't vote?
I mean, I don't have a ballot. I think that Bruce Mitchell in the PW Torch newsletter made a good case for Randy Orton being included. I think that the old measuring stick, which is how well you drew, that doesn't work as well anymore because how well you draw is, you know, it's based less and less on what you're able to do and based on how more and more on how WWE pushes you and presents you. And that's unfortunate, but there it is, you know. Greg?
Yeah, I don't have a ballot either, and I can't sit here and go through the list of names who are up for up on the ballot this year and you know go one by one. But I think that.
I can do that. I just need a few minutes to get. I just need a few minutes to pull everything. But yeah. I'm not going to, but I'll go over it and give my thoughts on a few people. I don't claim to be an expert in Japanese or Mexican wrestling.
Sure, and you know the guys. I think too. You know, you mentioned that Bruce in his column made a case for Randy Orton. I think Edge is another guy who's up this year and is on the ballot, and he's a guy who falls into a similar category as Randy Orton. Certainly doesn't have the longevity that Orton has, but he's another guy that you have to look at differently as far as drawing power that you mentioned, Pat. If you look at television ratings, I think Edge as a rated R superstar was a draw on Monday Night Raw when he was paired with Lita. But again, that was a short-term thing. You know, it really all depends on how you saw his in-ring career. Certainly he had a lot of really good matches. I don't think he was ever known as a really great worker. So, you know, Edge and Orton are two of the guys I'm kind of keeping my eye on this year. Curious as to how they do with being their first year on the ballot.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, I Brian, I know you're aware of this, but just for the people listening, you know, it's a slightly different bar being set for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame than for the WWE Hall of Fame. WWE Hall of Fame, hypothetically, it's about what you contributed, you know, to WWE, and maybe, you know, and maybe you're an important part of that organization, even if you're not a huge star. You know, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, as to borrow a line from Paul Zimmerman of Sports Illustrated, it's the Hall of Fame. It's not meant to be the Hall of Very Good. And that's, you know, that's what makes it different, I think. And, I'll look over this here in a second, maybe after the break, but I think that, I think a good case was made as for why Randy Orton and not Edge.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem, Ryan. Okay, it's just that simple. The number here is 515-605-9345. Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you. And don't forget, we'll be coming back after the break. We'll be taking more of your calls. The second half of Wrestling Night in America is still to come. But first, let's hear our soundboard of the week from Vince McMahon.
You can feel the electricity in the air.
And with that, don't touch that dial. We will return after this short message.
Rich Van, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
And Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast, the number 515-605-9345. Of course, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, the email way to reach us. And we're both here on Twitter. I am at Real Pat McNeil. He is at Greg M. Parks. I do want to get to one thing that was mentioned on Twitter, which I didn't get to probably while it was still time to go on. We got a message from the National Wrestling Alliance. Greg, you might have saw.
National Wrestling Alliance.
Yes, they had a live feed going of the Tim Storm NWA title defense against Nick Aldis, who you might better remember as Magnus or Mickey James' husband, depending on your point of view. And
sure.
Apparently that match aired live, and I have no idea who won. I clicked on it, and apparently the match was – I clicked on the live feed, and apparently the match was already over, Greg.
Tim Storm retained.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Well, there you go. Tim Storm, still your NWA heavyweight champion at 53 years old, which actually that seems about average for the past 20 years of pro wrestling, I guess. All right, so I'm looking over the ballot, which Bruce Mitchell thoughtfully provided here in the here in his PW Torch column, and he's talking about historical candidates, blah blah blah. It's a tough one, and you know the tough one for me is you see Pedro Morales is not a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer, no matter how many sellouts he drew at Madison Square Garden, where he wasn't the equal of Bruno Sammartino. I understand that. Bearcat Wright, he wants in. The closest thing, as Bruce puts it, to the first African American world champion, which he was in the WWA territory, which encompassed Los Angeles. But of the modern era candidates, Bruce says yes to Randy Orton and no to everyone else, including Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, who mid-card tag team act, Junkyard Dog, Edge, Bill Goldberg, Kurt Hennig, CM Punk, Sergeant Slaughter, Trish Stratus, Kerry Von Erich, and Ultimate Warrior. As for AJ Styles, who is on the list, he just puts not yet, which, there might be a better case to be made for AJ Styles after he has another couple years in WWE in him and he proves that he can, draw at that level as much as anybody can draw at that level.
Sure, and I think Styles, being on top in TNA for as long as he was, even though that company, really didn't get out of the red, except for maybe one short time. He gets credit there. He gets credit for going to New Japan and sort of reinventing himself there and then coming to WWE and – for so long, WWE wouldn't give Styles a second look. And for him to come and be as successful as he's been in WWE, New Japan, which is a very different environment, different wrestling styles, I think that's a testament to his work. And I can understand not voting for him yet. I'd like to see, I think he can provide more of a case for himself in the next few years. I don't think that he's going to fall off the face of the earth or anything like that. I think he does have a lot going for him, but I can also understand not voting for him right now.
Right. Now, when you get to the non-wrestlers category, there it gets interesting. Bruce wants to include George Scott. And, you know, George Scott booked pot periods for Mid-Atlantic. He was the booker for, WWF during the first two WrestleManias, which is a pretty serious time. I mean, obviously Vince was in charge, but he let George Scott do a lot of the work for him. And he was the booker in, the first part of 1989 who put Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair back together. Even though some of his other booking decisions left a lot to be desired, it's kind of hard to argue against that. What I'd have to talk with Bruce about is, he thinks Gary Hart belongs in the Hall of Fame and Jimmy Hart does not, which, I don't know. That's probably a subject worthy of more discussion than I'm willing
sure,
to do right
and-
now.
The name that really stands out to me in the non-wrestler list is Howard Finkel. I don't know how you're supposed to measure ring announcers. I think, to me, if I'm looking at a ring announcer on a Hall of Fame ballot, I'm looking for longevity, and I'm looking for, did they have the voice? Did they have the gravitas appropriate for that position and for the matches? And I think, those are the two big things that I would look at when I looked at the ring announcers, and Finkel certainly checked off both of those boxes. I'm not sure what necessarily people are looking for when they look at Finkel in that position, but to me, I would vote for him.
Right. But I guess the question is, does a ring announcer belong in the Hall of Fame, full stop? And I'm thinking if one does, probably Howard does. And, I can't imagine, where else are you going to find, is there going to be anybody in the future who has the longevity as a ring announcer that Howard Finkel did as WWF's main ring announcer and the Madison Square Garden ring announcer? I don't think that's going to happen over the next several decades.
Sounds like it's a very similar argument to should punters be in the NFL Hall of Fame?
Well, yes, they should. The great ones should, yes. I mean, Sammy
and
Baugh,
I think that's the same for.
Yeah.
I think that's the same for ring announcers then.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So there you go. Okay, 515-605-9345. After that detour, let's return to talking about what we have coming up. So, it's actually there's probably more news that we need to get to, but we'll be taking calls as we go along here. There's much speculation. In fact, it's been reported a couple places that WWE has been talking to Hulk Hogan, and The question is, which I don't think WWE has an answer yet, is it too soon to bring Hogan back? Are people still going to remember, the racism, the sex tape, the whole loss, all the lawsuits, Brutus Beefcake is writing a tell-all about Hulk Hogan because nobody would pay to read a tell-all about Brutus Beefcake. I don't know, Greg, that sounds like another judgment call here.
Sure, and I think just as important is the question of if you do bring him back, how do you utilize him? That's another question. Do you put him on TV in some kind of authority figure role? Is he just being brought back to do specials on the network and things like that? Is he going to be brought back as a brand ambassador who does ribbon cutting ceremonies and who's all over WWE's charitable works? I think that's a question WWE has to answer. And when they answer that question, that might answer, is it too soon to bring him back? Because I think sometimes it does depend on what role you have earmarked for this guy, whether or not it's easy to overlook his past transgressions.
Mm-hmm. And, you can make the argument, okay, Ultimate Warrior got to come back, and what he did was, arguably worse than Hulk Hogan. But Warrior was very much under the radar. It was kind of hard to miss all the stuff going on with Hogan.
It was not nearly as public as Hogan.
Yeah, and the argument can be made that maybe they shouldn't have brought Warrior back in the first place, or maybe they shouldn't be building their breast cancer survivor thing around Ultimate Warrior. Call me crazy, but that's a very valid concern which has been raised a lot of places.
Yeah, okay. And it's a valid argument. I totally agree.
All right. What else do we have? We have results from some of the shows this weekend. There was an NXT live event in Orlando, Greg, where they unveiled a new heel faction of Christopher Dijak, Fabian Aichner, and Buddy Murphy, who got to who got to take on Sanity in the main event in the six-man tag. That group, I don't know if it's just a one-off or something that we'll see more of in the future. That group sounds interesting.
Yeah, quite the collection of wrestlers, and I think, you know, Buddy Murphy's a guy who, when Blake and Murphy broke up, he was someone who people looked at as a guy that NXT should utilize in some form or fashion, rather than just, you know, running the Florida house show circuit of NXT. But it seemed like NXT didn't really have a real role for him. And then Dijak coming in, you know, you'd want a meaningful role for him. He's got the size, he's got the look that WWE looks for in a guy. Eichner, I think I mentioned this last week or maybe a week before that, impressed me on WWE or NXT TV. I think he was against Johnny Gargano. And, yeah, again, he's another guy who's got the look, the body type that Vince McMahon values. You don't want to do too many factions, especially when you just unveiled the Undisputed Era. You've got Sanity there. You don't want to go to that well too often, and you don't want a guy like Dijak to kind of get lost in the shuffle by being put in a faction like that. So I don't know if this is, you know, something for 6 months down the line that they're going to work on at house shows until then, or if it's something that is a one-off or that they plan to bring to TV immediately. But it's worth tracking on NXT house shows going forward to see if this group stays together.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, let's be honest, you know, Sanity's on the short list. They're going to be called up. I mean, they've been on the short list for a while to be called up, and it's going to happen probably sometime in the next 6 months. And I don't know how long the Undisputed Era is going to be. You know, I don't know how long they're going to last before they get brought up, although I expect Triple H would like them there for a while to sort of stem the losses that they've had. I'm surprised Authors of Pain have not been called up already, frankly.
Yeah,
I think there's
I would imagine maybe after the War Games cage match, because they've kind of run their course, I feel like, in NXT. You know, they've done their thing. They've been the power team. They've been the unstoppable force. I'm kind of thinking maybe after the War Games match at the next NXT special this week that they could earmarked for the main roster. But again, we've said that before after big matches that they've been in. But now it seems like creatively they're almost like an afterthought in this match. So creatively it doesn't seem like there's a lot going on with them in NXT right now.
They are kind of adrift, that's true. That's a good point. Okay, results from last night, Fort Lauderdale for the ROH Elite event. Probably the one that most people are interested in. Cody Rhodes defeats Rocky Romero via pinfall. Cody Rhodes still your ROH champion going into final battle, and they've more or less announced on ROHWrestling.com that, yeah, it's going to be Cody versus Dalton Castle coming up at final battle in your main event. And I think the matches they've already taped lead us to that point. Big enough main event for ROH's big show.
I think so. They've done a nice job building Dalton Castle up the last few weeks, and they've got some time left, on TV and things like that to make him seem like a credible challenger. You know, this was a match that we had pegged, I think, at the last ROH pay-per-view as a possibility, and then they kind of swerved and went in a different direction. So, you know, there's a lot of thought that Castle was ready at that point to challenge Cody Rhodes. So certainly giving him some more time to establish himself as a top-tier guy is not going to hurt. I think it'll be a good matchup character-wise. I think Castle provides a nice stark contrast to Cody Rhodes in the character department. So, I think Castle's certainly suitable at this point as a challenger to Cody Rhodes' title.
Also last night, believe it or not, in the main event, it was the Kenny Omega's been in Florida this weekend, and Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks in a six-man tag headlined. They lost to the team of Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, and Kenny King. There's been a lot. There's been speculation about how much, and there's been a lot of argument on the wrestling Twitter, especially Dave Meltzer's, of how much of a draw Kenny Omega is. He's meant better attendance for Ring of Honor stateside on the matches he's been on. That's for sure. It's just that's going to be limited. Plus, when they're putting together Final Battle, it sure looks like Kenny Omega's not going to be there. And so they're going to be relying on, so Ring of Honor is going to be relying on its homegrown guys for that.
Yeah, and I think you've got to do that every once in a while. We know that the New Japan relationship has been beneficial to ROH. They've been drawing some really good crowds. But you don't want to get caught up in putting over too much of another company's wrestlers, especially with New Japan wanting to make inroads in America, where they become, in a way, competition to you. I think it's a very fine line that ROH has to walk as far as establishing their own wrestlers and also utilizing the New Japan talent the best they can as well.
Okay, the number is 515-605-9345. Greg, we might be going long tonight because we still have a lot to go over here in our next couple of segments. This is Wrestling Night in America on PW Torch Livecast.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
And we're back with more of Wrestling Night in America here on pwtorchlivecast.com, 515-605-9345. And, of course, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, the ways to reach us. All right, Greg, it's time to talk about what we have coming up from WWE. First of all, we talked about Starrcade. I'm guessing we'll have some changes in the next couple of weeks. First, we have a little thing called Survivor Series, and the match that's been speculated upon is, it's leaked out. We are going to get, as a bonus at Survivor Series, The Shield returning, finally teaming up again against The New Day. I don't know if that's big enough to be a main event for this show, but, given how, given the lineup that we already have, including Lesnar versus AJ Styles, that's a very good second or third match.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at The Shield missing out on their real true reunion last month, there's still some value in this against New Day. And, I'm kind of interested in the roles each team will play, given that New Day are baby faces, but they've been more of the heel inciters, I guess, on SmackDown, just because the SmackDown side has come across a little more heelish, I guess, with their attack on Raw and things like that. So, certainly with Lesnar and Styles as a clear-cut main event, I think Shield versus New Day is a fine number two match behind them. And then, of course, the big Survivor Series elimination match as well.
Mm-hmm. I think those are all good. Now we know our teams now for the Survivor Series elimination match. Over on the Raw side, we have Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman. And SmackDown is Shane McMahon, AJ Styles. Shinsuke Nakamura, Randy Orton, because you can't do it without Randy Orton, John Cena, and I'm drawing a blank on the fifth one.
Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode, that's right. Absolutely. So that's the question, Greg. I think that's a good enough match. But somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, hey, one of these things, how we say one of these things is not like the other. One of these things on the SmackDown team is very much not like the other.
And you can say the same for Raw. With Jason Jordan kind of stands out amongst Strowman, Balor, and Joe. So I guess you need guys who are eliminated first in the match, and those guys are. Certainly, Roode on SmackDown and Jordan on Raw stand out as guys who are not at the level of their teammates, and you can look at it in the way of, okay, having them be a part of this team and maybe surviving will help increase their visibility and help both men, who need it, by the way, help them in the eyes of fans. You know, Jason Jordan not getting over like WWE had hoped in the aftermath of being announced as Kurt Angle's son, and then Bobby Roode sort of being put in a death slot against Dolph Ziggler in his first feud on SmackDown. I don't think he's gotten over to the point that the WWE hopes. So, you know, putting them in this match, a match of this magnitude where it's SmackDown versus Raw and it's getting a lot of attention and being able to rub elbows with some top guys on each brand could end up helping them.
Okay. Yeah. We've got the women's match, and we'll probably talk about that a little more in a moment. Okay. Let's see. Okay, Alexa Bliss and Natalya. Now, there is a possibility that Charlotte wins the title from Alexa from Natalya on SmackDown because, well, it's in Charlotte, and yeah, and her father will be there, and it makes sense. There is also one theory floating around that as to why Charlotte would win the title in Charlotte. If they are protecting Charlotte, they don't want her. They don't want her in the ring against Asuka because, you know, somebody is going to, because they'd have to protect both wrestlers and they wouldn't want them facing off against each other. I don't know if there's much to that theory, but I agree. If Charlotte's your girl and Charlotte's going to take on Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, you should be protecting her for the next few months.
Yeah. And I could totally see Charlotte winning on Tuesday at SmackDown against Natalya. I think Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss is a more compelling pay-per-view match than Alexa Bliss versus Natalya. You know, as far as protecting Charlotte, you can imagine Asuka surviving on Team Raw, which would, if Charlotte lost to Natalya, would necessitate having to take a fall on the Team SmackDown side unless you ran an injury angle on Tuesday to get Charlotte out of the match. But I don't think you'd probably do that. I don't know if there's any women unless you put Lana in that spot for Charlotte. But you know, I don't know that protecting Charlotte in a match against Asuka, is really, or should be a really big priority at this point in November. Even if they have the WrestleMania match that if she's involved with Rousey is on the books right now. So I think Charlotte is a good possibility to beat Natalya on Tuesday and slide into that match just because it's a more attractive match, Alexa versus Charlotte, than Alexa versus Natalya.
Definitely agree with that. I think you do have to be careful about what you have Asuka doing in this 10-woman match here. I think obviously you want to make sure. Yeah, I mean Asuka's going to have to be protected. I don't think that's going to be too difficult, but I could see maybe you don't want to protect, you can't protect two wrestlers on two different sides at the same time.
Correct. I mean, you could do a disqualification. You could do a count out where that person doesn't have to get pinned or submitted. But yeah, it does make things a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. So tomorrow night, Atlanta, the one match that we do know that's going to happen is Bayley versus Dana Brooks versus Mickey James, with the possibility that Paige gets thrown in there as a fourth person. We know from WWE.com that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are going to address the fact that they have a new opponent for Survivor Series, and it might be a little more of a challenge than Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how Paul Heyman works that, because he went pretty hard after Jinder Mahal in accepting Mahal's challenge to Brock Lesnar for Survivor Series. So, you know, this is something we've heard a lot of Paul Heyman promos over the past few years, stumping for Brock Lesnar. And, you know, some of them kind of sound the same, or at least have the same purpose and same beat to them. But, you know, to have 2 weeks out, less than 2 weeks out, have a match change midstream is something that I don't think we've had happen before with Lesnar. So it'll be, at least, if nothing else, a different reaction, a different promo take from Paul Heyman on something like that.
Yes, and of course, Roman Reigns will finally be back on Raw, so he can get booed out of, I mean, so he can set up the match between the Shield and the New Day. And, you know, I mean, the best guess that a lot of people have is that whatever Raw is going to do to respond to the whole SmackDown Under Siege thing, you know, that's going to be on SmackDown this week because there's no other chance to do it.
Yeah. there's no other time, and I would expect that. Certainly, I'm not sure what that would entail, but, you know, Raw has come out pretty badly. And maybe that's the point, that, you know, with Stephanie McMahon's promo on Kurt Angle, really running him down, and then having New Day come out and escape last week before the Raw roster could get to them. It's put Raw on its heels, and I think that's kind of the purpose. But knowing WWE's booking, I think they want to get to a more even Steven point before the pay-per-view. So I would expect Raw to invade again. I'm not sure what that would look like necessarily, but invade SmackDown on Tuesday night.
Okay, so, yeah, speaking of Tuesday night, we come to Greg's favorite part of the show, the SmackDown portion, and, you know, I obviously enjoyed the title change on Tuesday, and I got to talk about it on Wade's Wednesday podcast with him. The other thing they did is they did a very good job of setting up matches for Tuesday night. I know, craziness. Why don't you run down what we're likely to see this Tuesday?
Yeah, so we've talked about Charlotte versus Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship. We have Sin Cara versus Baron Corbin for the United States title. So Alexa Bliss versus Natalya isn't the only match that could get changed at Survivor Series. Miz versus Baron Corbin is scheduled, but if Sin Cara somehow defeats Baron Corbin on Tuesday night, we will have the Miz against Sin Cara at Survivor Series. We also have scheduled Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus The New Day. Again, we assume that despite being sent home from the European tour, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will still appear on SmackDown this Tuesday night to face off against New Day. So those are three matches that are scheduled for Tuesday night, built off of this past week's episode of SmackDown. And, of course, we've got follow-up. Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin defeated the Usos by count out, so you would expect that situation to continue. You had Becky Lynch defeat James Ellsworth in a rare man versus woman match on SmackDown this past week, although it was certainly not to the level of what you would see in Lucha Underground by the same token. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Tuesday night is Rusev Day as well. So we'll see what kind of celebration Rusev has planned.
Every day is Rusev Day, but, yeah, that's true. Same report via Twitter. The ROH tapings in Lakeland, Florida have either wrapped up or about to wrap up. Tommy Dreamer made a surprise appearance during the taping, so we'll try to get some more information on that. I think the main event is supposed to be a six-man tag with, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, and Chucky T. Which will be a fine TV match. Not worried about that. And now, apparently next weekend, Ring of Honor Survival of the Fittest is a three-day event because 2 days just wasn't enough, Greg.
Well, they're learning from WWE that the longer it is, the more it is, the better.
Yeah, I guess so. But, we'll probably have to talk about this in a bit. There is a bit of a showdown coming up actually this Friday when the same night that Ring of Honor is in San Antonio, it's going to be NXT in San Antonio where Drew McIntyre is fighting Adam Cole, and I think Shawn Michaels is supposed to be there too. As a way to counter, as a way to counter what's going to happen, counter the ROH show going on the same night, and it's almost as if there's an actual competition in the pro wrestling business.
Even if WWE has to sort of manufacture it, yes.
They don't want other companies to think that they will allow themselves competition. So. I guess I can understand that. Survival of the Fittest. Main event, Survival of the Fittest. Here you go. Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega versus The Addiction, which, a fun match to watch, I'm sure. I'm not expecting anything earth-shattering. Also, Dalton, well, this might be earth-shattering, Dalton Castle versus the villain, Marty Skrull. And the Young Bucks against Scorpio Sky and Flip Gordon. Jeez. That could be a lot of fun. Okay, tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to take our final break of the show, at least I hope so, 515-605-9345. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk some, probably going to talk some NXT TakeOver with you. So don't touch that dial, kids. This is Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com.
Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for pro wrestling fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a hand-picked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at PWTorchLivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word, and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We're back with more of Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com, 515-605-9345. Torch columnist Pat McNeil alongside Torch columnist Greg Parks. Your PW Torch Livecast top guys are here, and it's been a great show. However, I gotta do this right now. Greg Parks, we have breaking news, Greg, from the Twitter. Let's go ahead and get to that now. Yes, spotted backstage, Ring of Honor in Lakeland, Florida, at the TV tapings, Greg, and with photographic proof, New Japan star Badass Billy Gunn.
Truly worthy of the breaking news sounder there, Pat.
Yeah, I mean that you heard that here first, folks. I don't think Billy Gunn actually was wrestling on the show. Tommy Dreamer did appear on the show though, and also appearing on both shows this weekend. You may remember her as Peyton Banks from TNA Impact, Rain from Shimmer. Part of the women, both doing Women of Honor matches both nights, which is nice. And let's see here. What else do we have? Okay. I don't want to give away any spoilers, and there really aren't that many online, but, as soon as we get something, it'll be up here on pwtorch.com. Let's see. So we talked about Survivor Series, and obviously Baron Corbin versus The Miz is going to be a tremendous match. The only way it could be more tremendous, Greg, is if it's Sin Cara versus The Miz. I'm trying to figure out what the likelihood is of that happening, though, because on the one hand, you'd get a match with the babyface versus heel dynamic. On the other hand, you'd get a match where a lot of people cheer for The Miz, which I don't think is something they want right now.
That's true, and it's been curious them building up Sin Cara just to kind of Corbin eventually just beat him. So I don't know. It's interesting. I don't think Sin Cara will beat Baron Corbin, but just to see how he's been built up over the last few weeks is encouraging.
Yeah, well, I think you need to do that from time to time, you know, especially if you're going to cut down on the number of pay-per-views. You need to have, you know, storylines that play out in 2 or 3 weeks on television.
Oh, certainly. I just think Sin Cara is an odd choice to do it with since he hasn't meant anything in so long.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, but on the other hand, he hasn't been on WWE television for so long, so the booking hasn't ruined him, so he's fresh.
True. Nobody watches Main Event.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's talk a little bit about NXT TakeOver, because I think a lot of people are, including our own Justin James, are more excited about this than Survivor Series. First of all, there is a, you know, I know that it looks like the NXT show in San Antonio might be just as loaded, if not more, as NXT TakeOver, but there is a match that's not going to be shown on NXT television or on TakeOver itself. Pete Dunne against Johnny Gargano that if they're given time, could be the best match on the show.
Yes, we're being robbed of not being able to see Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano, because I think that'll be a tremendous match.
I would, maybe they can be encouraged to change their minds about that. Yeah, but
I hope so.
I mean, one of the good things about this past week was, you know, Pete Dunne, we got to see Pete Dunne on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fantastic. He did. I mean, even if it was against Enzo Amore, you know, they treated Pete Dunne like a big deal, at least as much as you can be when you're taking on Enzo Amore.
And it was in the UK, so he was guaranteed to get a really good reaction, which he did, which put him over as a star to the audience watching at home who may not have been as familiar with him.
I would have no problem if, you know, they solved this lack of a UK show by letting Dunn and Tyler Bate and Wolfgang and a few of those guys wrestle on Raw and SmackDown for a while. And it would solve a problem where, you know, occasionally they have injuries and they have guys, you know, being sent home, and you get a little more roster depth.
Mm-hmm. Helps the cruiserweight division, certainly, if that's where you plan on putting them.
Yes. Actually, there's rumors that Rockstar Spud will be in the cruiserweight division before any of those guys will be, which might be better for Dunn and Bate. I don't know. All right. Also on the show, Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. Lars has been beating Cassius on the live events, and I expect that they're planning to move Lars up to the main roster as soon as they can get him to execute basic moves.
Yeah, they dug a decent job of making Cassius Ohno mean a little more lately on TV, getting to pick up some wins. But I would expect Lars Sullivan to get the victory here. He's the kind of guy that stands out. He's done a nice job in his role in NXT, and I would assume he takes the next step here and beats Ohno.
Yeah, I would expect that as well. A match that I wasn't necessarily excited about several weeks ago, but I'm getting more excited about as we get closer to Saturday. Aleister Black versus the Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark.
Yeah, this is a match that's really gotten high praise. Is another match they've been doing on the house show circuit, and it's been getting good reviews there. So I think it'll be a really good match. Certainly Dream is somebody completely different from, you know, anything that Aleister Black has been has seen since he's been in NXT, and with Dream trying to get into Black's head and play mind games with him. It's been an interesting storyline, certainly a unique one. And, they've been kept apart physically for the most part, aside from, you know, maybe here and there. And I think that's the key, that we haven't really seen them in any kind of match. It hasn't been like main roster where you're doing, Dream tagged with somebody against Black and a partner, or, you know, this is their third match or a rubber match, you know, on pay-per-view or whatever like that. This is a really unique matchup that we haven't seen on TV before, and I think that really helps the uniqueness of it.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this. The four-way match to crown a new NXT Women's Champion. This is a big role. I mean, Asuka made it a big role. I mean, it's been important, actually, dating back to almost the start of NXT. But Asuka is going to be most remembered as women's champion because she held the title the longest and went completely undefeated there. So you've got Ember Moon and Nikki Cross and Peyton Royce and Kairi Sane. And the question is who, you know, who's the lady who gets to take over. And from many standpoints, you could say that, you know, Peyton Royce, that would be a heat getter if she somehow came out with the title. Kairi Sane would be the favorite. I mean, she's not Asuka, but is it too much like Asuka? You have a highly regarded Japanese wrestler who comes over and takes over?
Yeah, you risk drawing those comparisons. I think you could make a solid argument for any of those women winning the title. I don't think there's a wrong choice to be made there. Like you said, Peyton Royce would be a really good heat getter. I think that would add to her gimmick with Billy Kay. Nikki Cross had a real knockdown drag out with Asuka on NXT TV a couple months ago. That was really good. Ember Moon has, I think she was Asuka's perhaps most ballyhooed opponent when Asuka was in NXT. So she did seem like the next in line behind Asuka in the pecking order in the NXT women's division. So she would make sense to win the title. And of course, Kairi Sane coming off the Mae Young Classic victory and following in the footsteps of Asuka. There's a story to be told there. So I don't think you can go wrong with any of those women.
I'm going to say this, and this might get some people upset. I would almost rather have Ember Moon go to the main roster without holding the NXT women's title, because WWE, Vince McMahon, has not done a great job of taking top people from NXT and adapting them to the main roster. And it almost seems like, and maybe it's just that instinct of, you don't build everything around people from the competition, you bury them, that, you know, maybe he's got this in his head that NXT is the competition. I mean, look, okay, you have Bayley and Sasha Banks and Charlotte, and the top woman on the Raw roster right now is Alexa Bliss, who was never the champion and never treated as on the level as any of those women when she was in NXT. But they've, you know, but it's like Vince discovered her. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a conscious thing. Like, I don't know if he pays that close attention to NXT to be able to pull those kind of strings once they get to the main roster, or if he just kind of looks at them as a blank slate when they come to the main roster, and Alexa Bliss mm-hmm. just happened to be someone who he took to from a booking standpoint, and maybe that wouldn't necessarily happen with Ember Moon if she was to be moved up.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's wrong, because I mean I can't really argue with the way Alexa Bliss has been used, and I mean she's mm-hmm. she's definitely shown us some talent that we didn't see from her in NXT. I mean it's just you know, I mean let me think of another good example. Elias, who's getting treated, you know, more seriously than he ever did in NXT, and you know, showcasing a little more of himself. I mean, it's not a perfect analogy, but there you go. All right, I'm going to pick Kairi Sane. The War Games. You have the Undisputed Era against Roderick Strong and the Authors of Pain against Sanity. And given that it's a non-title match, and it's War Games, I would be highly surprised if we don't see the Undisputed Era get a victory somehow.
Yeah, this is their first really big high-profile match. They've been treated as a main event act. I think you got to put them over here. And we talked about the Authors of Pain possibly moving up to the main roster, possibly soon after this show. But I think the same can be said of Sanity. There's been talk of Sanity eventually moving up to the main roster as well. Right now, with them being tag team champions, probably have to wait until they drop the titles. But yeah, it seems like a clear path for the Undisputed Era to win this one.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of things you can imagine. The Shield versus Sanity. That would be that'd be something fun. All right, and obviously Drew McIntyre versus Andrade Cien Almas in the main event. It took a while for Andrade to come around to being this character after being La Sombra for so long. I think he's done about as well with it as he's going to do. And
sure.
I think having Rosita or, you know, Thea Trinidad or Zelina Vega or whatever you want to call her, I think that's helped the act a great deal.
And this heel turn felt like the last gasp for Almas to really get over, and he's done a tremendous job, better than I think a lot of people expected when he was originally given this role, and certainly Zelina Vega has improved the act even more. So I have no, I have no issue with him being in this role. I think Almas versus McIntyre is going to be a worthy main event match. I'm kind of interested because it seems to be a styles clash on one hand, but I think it's one that isn't going to stink up the joint. I think it's one that both of them will work very well together with their different styles.
Okay, so yeah, I'm expecting McIntyre to win, and you know, you've put off that Drew McIntyre Adam Cole match on television. You've put it off until Philadelphia at Royal Rumble weekend.
Yeah, and that's not very far away, you know, 2 months away, so I think that's certainly doable.
No. Okay, let's see. We have not discussed Impact yet, and this is the week after Bound for Glory. what's coming up on Impact this week, Eli Drake, your champion, defending the title against Petey Williams. Yes, they set that up. They also had a really long brawl around the building with Johnny Impact and Alberto El Patron, and I suspect we're gonna get some more about that in the coming weeks.
I would imagine that's true.
Yes. Also, there's going to be a six-man tag with Ohio versus Everyone and Sami Callihan against LAX, and it's set to be a regular match. I know there'll be stipulation matches to come, but it's probably a good next step in the feud. So we'll see how all that comes together. But I'm not, you know, Eli Drake, he seems like he should be somebody's television champion, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I wasn't really thrilled with Bound for Glory as a show.
No.
We didn't really get a chance to talk about that because we went on the air as Bound for Glory was happening last week.
But I do want to thank Mike and Andrew for doing a good job doing the post-game show for Bound for Glory. That's why they do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they do a nice job after Impact each week on Thursday nights as well, doing the live cast. But, you know, if you went into Bound for Glory not sold on Eli Drake as champion and looking for a reason to believe in him, I think you came out of that show disappointed. I don't think he really gave you a really solid reason as to why he should be champion. And when you're in there against Johnny Impact, John Morrison, whatever you call him, you should have a standout match, and they didn't do that. I think that was a prime opportunity to really put the title on Impact, not only to kind of get a fresh start with another new regime with Scott D'Amore taking over after Jeff Jarrett's exit, but you know, to really send the crowd home happy. You only do two pay-per-views a year, and you really sent the crowd home in Ottawa on a down note by having Drake retain and Alberto El Patron come out, and so much of the show is about him, which kind of boggles my mind given the issues he's had lately. You know, a lot going on, and Bound for Glory didn't engender a lot of confidence. I haven't watched Impact from this past week yet. I know. I think Mike McMahon was tweeting some positives about it this week as it was going on. So I'm interested to check that out. But Eli Drake is champion. I like Eli Drake more than probably a lot of people do, but I don't like him as a world champion and face of a brand.
Yeah, I mean, his promos are good. I mean, it just reminds me. I mean, I see the parallels between him and say a Jeff Jarrett title reign. It's got a lot of the same weaknesses, the same, you know, walk and brawl, the same vulnerable heel champion stuff with it, where he's not, you know, and it's not based around great wrestling. And I think a lot of us have gotten spoiled by, you know, by guys like AJ Styles, you know, that you want to see, you know, you want to see the top guys in a company, you know, up on top.
And certainly the advantage Jarrett had as champion is, you know, for whatever it was worth, he was on top. He was top champion in WCW. He was a major player in the Monday Night Wars in WWE and WCW. So he had at least that credibility, for as much as people knock TNA in their past about utilizing too many Attitude Era stars, at least he had that credibility that he brought with him. Eli Drake was, I don't want to say a Jinder Mahal level guy, but he was a lower end mid card guy, sort of a comedy heel act in TNA before he was vaulted into this main event position. And I just don't think he's done enough in his reign for people to buy him in that position.
Okay, and one more thing I feel like we should mention before we wrap it up for the evening. A fourth season of Lucha Underground is forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, given they went a long time without announcing anything. You just kind of worry what it's going to look like as far as the production values. They've set such a high bar for themselves with production and with things like that if it's true that they're not going to get the same level of money and it'll be slashed pretty significantly, you wonder if it's going to be the same kind of Lucha Underground and if they're going to be able to do the same kind of storytelling that they've been doing the last three seasons.
Okay. I think we've drained the pool of topics for the evening. Greg, thank you for being here, and thanks to everybody calling and listening for making it another fantastic Wrestling Night in America. Greg, we're going to do this next Sunday, Survivor Series, the biggest show of autumn. And, Lesnar versus AJ Styles and The Shield reunites. That's a pretty good hook right there.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about next week.
I expect so. And we'll have a lot to talk about. We're during the week here on PW Torch Livecast. You probably heard the plugs, but everything, the Monday Night MMA show, you got Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley, you got the Impact Postgame show, I don't leave anybody out, you got the Deep Dive with Rich Phan. So much here. Thank you for being part of PW Torch Livecast and carving us out as part of your pro wrestling podcast listening. And we feel honored, folks. And speaking of feeling honored, we would feel honored if you became a VIP member here at pwtorch.com. Go to pwtorch.com/govip for more details or listen to this next segment. Thank you, everybody.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. And it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Dog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, The retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.